you've finished, and then today I'm going to tell you to keep going. So my only encouragement for you guys this morning, if we just hold on to this, is to take that same attitude of working for that reward, something we don't see yet. You could say you had faith, knowing that if you put that hard work in, at the end you'd receive that reward. And so to take that attitude of that no matter what you have to do to get to that end, it's worth it. Take that attitude into the rest of your life and walk with Jesus, and everything else will fall into place. We'll talk to one of my favorite books in the Bible is Hebrews. And in Hebrews, we don't know who the author is, but whoever he is, he talked about faith a lot. We're going to dive into that today. So what is faith? So in Hebrews, he talks about it. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the evidence of things not seen. So faith is what we get to hold on to when we're waiting for that reward. So through those 4 years, when there was times when you didn't want to get out of bed and go to school, that you knew that at the end it would be worth it. If you went to school enough days and didn't have to make up days at the end, you would get that to that graduation and it would be worth it in the end. So that faith, knowing that there was that reward coming at the end, was what you had to hold on to. It was the deed. I like the way he compares this to, it's the substance of things hope for. It's what you had. It's like the title deed to a house. So like if you haven't stepped foot in that house yet, you've got that piece of paper that says this is mine or this property is mine. That's what faith is. It's that evidence. It's that thing that we get to hold on to for what we're hoping for in the end. In verse 2, he says, for by faith, the elders obtained a good testimony. So in elders here, he's talking about all the elders in Israel. So of all the way from Abel to Abraham and to Sarah, he's talking about these people who knew the reward. They believed in God. They knew that what he said, the promises he gave them, were true. And so they held on to that, even when they couldn't see that reward at the end. They couldn't see, and we'll talk about each of these situations, they couldn't see what was coming, but they held on to that and knew that God was faithful and that he would come through on that promise that he made to them. So on a larger scale, that's what these elders were doing, the same thing you guys did in high school. You knew at the end of those 4 years, you'd have that reward, and so everything you had to do to get there was worth it. So, and all these things these heroes did, they were rooted in faith. So as we start to talk about each of these examples, remember that these, they all stemmed out of faith. They were all able to do this because they had that title deed. They had something to hold on to when they couldn't see it, when it was far off. So from Abel all the way to Abraham, this played out. So Abel, if many of you know, you probably read about Abel. Abel offered a sacrifice to God, and it was better than what Cain gave. So Abel gave his first fruit. He gave the best that he had because he knew that God, who God was, and he believed that if he gave his best to God, God was able to give even more back, and that God was worthy of that, his first fruits. And so by faith, by believing that God was who he said he was, he offered that better sacrifice. From Abel, then he talks about Enoch in Hebrews. He talks about Enoch, how he was one day just walking with God, talking to him, and all of a sudden he was no more. He went home with God and never tasted death because he had this testimony that he pleased God. And it's impossible to please God if we don't believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So, you know, that just makes sense. If we don't believe that God is or that God exists, then there's no basis to believe that what he says is true. We can't please him because we don't even believe that he's there. And if we don't believe that he's a rewarder of those who seek him, then why seek him? So if we don't believe that if we seek after him, we're going to find him, then why are we going to seek him? So at the beginning of high school, if someone told you that, yeah, you might be here forever, you know, you won't get anything, you just keep on, stay here, what would be the point of spending every day, sacrificing time with your friends and family to go to school and to make sacrifices and working if there was nothing at the end there, if you weren't going to find what you were looking for, reach that reward? And so we believe that we have that faith, that assurance that God is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so these elders held on to that, just like you guys did. They held on to that and believed that anything they had to do was worth it to get to that end. He went to Noah. God talked to Noah. He lived in like a dry and arid land, kind of a desert type place. And God said, hey, build a boat. And he said, build a boat. Like there was no water anywhere. He's in a desert. Everyone around him told him he was crazy. But he started building a boat because he trusted who God was. He had that faith that, look, if I build this boat, it's going to be worth it because God told me to do it. No matter what these people are picking on me, they won't even invite me over. Everybody sees me. They joke about me. They snicker behind my back. But it's worth it because God, the creator, the one who rewards those who seek him, told me to build this boat, so I'm going to do it. And he stuck through and he gained that salvation for himself and his whole family just by believing and holding on to that promise. And then after all that, in the book of Hebrews, he talks about Abraham. And just as I've been talking about Abraham, thinking about Abraham, he was nuts. He was crazy. Like he left everything he knew. He had a home and a land. He spoke the language. He knew people around him, knew his neighbors, had standing in his community. And God said, go to this strange land where you've never been, and I'm going to give it to you, to your descendants. He had no kids. I'm going to give it to you and to your descendants to be an inheritance forever. And what did he do? He had two choices there. He could have stayed home where he knew. He could have stayed in his comfort zone with his friends and family and neighbors. Or he could go to what he didn't know. All he had to hold on to was that faith, that substance of things that he was hoping for, that promise that God gave to him. And he did it. He left, and he went to the strange land full of these nations with massive armies, and Abraham didn't have armies. He didn't even have a family yet. And God told him that he held on to that promise that he was going to inherit that land, and his people were going to inherit it and live in it forever. That was his inheritance. He held on to that promise, left everything he knew, and ran hard after that because he knew that God was faithful and a rewarder of those who sought him. And we see that then next, Sarah, God told her that he was going to give her a son. And she was well too old to have a son. But she believed him, trusted him, and he gave her a son. And so now Israel, we know of Israel today, they still exist. They're all Abraham's descendants because he held on to that promise, was a crazy nut, and left his home and went out to what he didn't know and understand because he trusted that God was faithful and would do what he told him to, told him that he would do. So all of these, and what's even crazier to me, all of these who did this thing, these, in verse 13, he says, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. So they had this promise, they had that faith they held on to, and then in their lifetime, they never even saw that promise fulfilled. Like, that's crazy to think about. Abraham left everything he had. Abel wound up dying because he gave a better sacrifice. They all didn't see that promise fulfilled in their lifetime, but they still held on to it, even to the death, and they received that reward. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. So they were seeking something better. They were seeking not just what they could see around them. They were seeking that promise, and they held on to that. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had the opportunity to return. So in this, at any point, just like the Israelites when they left Egypt and they crossed the Red Sea, and before they crossed the Red Sea, things started getting hard, and they started thinking about Egypt and how their life was better there because they had food and they had places to stay. And they're like, well, what if we just returned to Egypt? God had just delivered them from slavery, but it seemed impossible, and they were already doubting and were thinking about going back home. So it says all of these could have done that same thing. They could have thought, they could have remembered where they came from. They could have remembered their comfort zone, their friends, their neighbors, their family. They could have gone back there and lived it up, partied it up. They could have sought, just like those in the world seek, where they try to find peace and help and everything they need where it's empty. So they'll try to make their own peace by finding it at the end, bottom of a bottle or in drugs, or try to find security and riches by saving up all that they can, save it in their barns, stored up in their barns, knowing that when hard times come, these riches are going to save me because I got them stored up. They could have done that. They could have trusted in themselves. But instead, they declared plainly that they saw the homeland, that they trusted God, that he was a rewarder of those who diligently sought him, that he would give them that reward in the end, that better homeland. For in verse 16, like he says, but now they desire a better, that is a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared them. He has prepared a city for them. So they could have thought, they could have gone to the counterfeits. They could have stayed in their comfort zone. Or they could go like Abraham did and leave everything he knew and go and follow and trust God's promise. Those were the two choices they faced, and they chose the more foolish looking one. They chose the crazy one in the eyes of the world. So how's that apply to us? So we're kind of getting out there in the clouds. So how does that relate to us? So as you're going now, high school is behind you. You've gained that reward. You believe that if all that sacrifice would be worth it at the end, and you stuck through, and now you're at the finish line, having received that. And so now I'm saying, take that same attitude into whatever's next, whatever you do, believing that God is that God is, and he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. And so we have two choices in everything we do as you go from here on. We can choose to stay in our comfort zone. So many of you will be going to college or to Reach or staying around here working. Wherever you are, you'll have those two choices always. You can stay, you can be friends of the world, stay in your comfort zone. You can do what's popular, to be in the popular crowd by picking on people who they pick on, doing what they do, smoking what they smoke, hanging out where they hang out. You can do those things to be friends with the world, gain riches, gain popularity, and gain your security by your own strength in this world. Or you can hold on to that faith. What you can't see, that piece of paper, that title deed, that promise that God's given you of that better, that heavenly homeland. You can live for now and today, or you can live for eternity. You can live for the daughter of the line, as those of you who've been to City Challenge, Kevin talks about that a lot. You can say, look, God promised a heavenly homeland. God promised that if we pick up our cross and follow him, that we'll be with him forever. That if we run for him, we'll have a reward at the end. The reward is Jesus himself. So we can run to those counterfeits, or we can run to Jesus, the one who truly fulfills us, who truly gives peace. He doesn't give a fake peace that in the morning he leaves you with a hangover. He gives you a true peace. He gives you true security and acceptance, and he gives you true security, rather than riches that can fade away or in a moment be gone. Disasters can come and they can all be gone, but God promises you a heavenly homeland. So if we live for that, if we forsake all that we see and know, and we hold on to that faith, that evidence of things hoped for that we see, just like you did for those 4 years, knowing that everything you sacrificed, every time of being picked on, is worth it in the end. It'll be worth it. And everything else will fall into place then, because you'll be living for the one who calls us and not for those around us, not trying to people please, not trying to gain our own security, because we can't. It's all from God and from his riches. And no one can make that choice for you. Parents, I know I'm just a young parent, just have a little one, but we wish we could make decisions for them sometimes. We wish we could make them choose what we want them to. I wish Nadia would stop jumping off the bed, but I can't choose that for her. And so nobody can choose this for you, but you can make this choice. You can choose to run to the counterfeits, to go back, stay in that comfort zone, or you can step out of your comfort zone, live for what you can't see, and trusting that being the weirdo, that making disciples, telling people about Jesus and who he is, will pay off in the end. You'll get to see him. That if you seek Jesus, you seek God, you'll find him. Because he told you he will. He's not far from any one of us. So if we seek him, we'll find him in everything. So what do we do with that? If we choose that, if we choose to leave our comfort zone and to follow him, what's left? And so the author of Hebrews says to run. So I've got several runners here. What do you take with you when you run?
Shoes. Take shoes. Socks. You know, you wear the bare minimum that you can get away with that's socially acceptable so that you can run as quickly as you can. Anything else just gets in the way and slows you down and keeps you from getting to the goal as fast as you can. So you wear the bare minimum that you can get away with and you run. So in Hebrews 12:1, he says, therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. So we lay aside those weights. As Jesus, we walk with Jesus, he brings up things that aren't pointing us towards him, that are pointing us towards the world, that aren't helping us get towards him. He'll bring up things in your life as you walk with him. He'll show you things. Lay them aside. Throw them out of the way because they're not going to point you towards him. They're not going to bring you to what matters. They're not going to help you get to that finish. They're only going to slow you down, and they're only going to distract you from what truly matters. So lay it aside. And it's not easy. It's not easy to lay aside those things because we're in the flesh. We live in the flesh. We have those desires. Those things are here. But when we trust that reward, hold on to that faith and the hope that's set before us, we have a reason to get rid of those things and run towards Jesus, that reward that was promised to us. And I love this verse too. He says, looking unto Jesus, that's our reward. Jesus is the reward, the one who gives that true contentment, that true peace, true security, and true safety. The author, the one who started this race for us, and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. So Jesus ran this race too. He was here, he faced the same choices every day. And Satan knew who he was. He knew what Jesus came to do, so he threw everything at him. He threw every temptation he could think of because he knew that if he could get Jesus to fail, if he could get Jesus to not do what he came to do, that he would doom us all and he would win. So he threw everything at Jesus. So Jesus knows what we face. And Jesus, what does it say he did? He said, for the joy that was set before him, he knew that if he stuck with it, he went to the cross, endured betrayal, and he didn't call on his angels to save him, and he went to that cross, that he would get to be with each and every one of you for eternity, that he would make a way for you to be with him, and that he would get to be home with his Father again and sit with him at the right hand of the Father. He knows that if you believe in him, hold on to that promise, that faith in Jesus, that he'll get to see each of you and be with each of you in heaven. So for that joy that was set before him, he endured the shame. He endured people mocking him, saying, hey, save yourself, come down off that cross. He endured people saying that, oh, he's of the devil. Or he endured people rejecting him, saying that he was self-righteous, and who are you to say that you're the Son of God? He endured all of that shame for the joy that was set before him. He knew it was worth it. Just like he did that, just like he did through high school, knew that all the hardships were going to be worth it. All those late night studying, writing those term papers over the past couple of weeks, all of it was going to be worth it. In Jesus, it's all going to be worth it. If we run for him, if we give up the things of the flesh, we give up, stop running after sin, we turn around and run after Jesus, it's all going to be worth it. There's sacrifices, there's hardships, but it'll be worth it. I wasn't sure if I was going to read this, but I think I will. So from Hebrews 11 in 32 through 38, I don't have slides for this, but he just talks about how faith is not always easy, but it's always worth it. And he says, and what more, after he's talked about all of these others, he says, and what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead, raised to life again. That's all the good things. All these people trusted in God. They believed that promise and that faith. They held on to that faith, that title deed of what was yet to come. And they saw kingdoms come down. They saw God's promises come through. Some of them did. Some of them died without the promises. They saw Daniel saw in the lion's den that God shut the mouths of lions because he
prayed to God. He praised God, even though it was illegal, and he was thrown down in the den of the lions, and God saved him because he held on to that promise. All these things because they held on to what they couldn't see. And it'd be easy if we just stopped there, but it's not always easy. It says, others were tortured, not accepting deliverance that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trial of mockings and scourgings, yes, and of chains and imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, and tormented, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Again, that's talking about those two choices we have of whether we can be friends with the world or friends of God. And Jesus, God himself, came down to make the way for us that we could be friends of God, that we can, if by faith in Jesus, if we believe in our hearts and confess with our mouths that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved because of what he did, because of that sacrifice he made. So if we run hard, run the race that's set before us, we know that reward is Jesus, and that full contentment and peace and hope that's in Jesus will be fulfilled when we see him on that last day. So our reward is a little bit better than a high school diploma now for the rest of your life. So there's a little bit more reason to keep going. It's that it's Jesus. It's the fulfillment. So I was cheesy and titled the message, Run to the Finisher. So like we're running to the finish, and we're running, our reward is the one who ran before us. It's Jesus who endured the cross. And so we look to him. He endured the cross, the shame, and the suffering, so that at the end we could come to him. At the end he would sit with his Father and he would be home again. So we run to that heavenly homeland. So I think I'm done babbling for a little bit. But all of you guys, like I said, I've just had an awesome several years or weeks or days or whatever getting to know you, meeting with you, and just seeing what God's been doing in you. And we're excited to see what's next. So we heard what you were doing. Many are going, a couple of you going to Reach, a couple are going to college. Wherever you go, just remember who you're running for and what that reward is for in the end. So some things aren't always going to go as we expect. As you guys like to point out, that I dropped out of college. So it doesn't always go the way you planned. I planned that by now I'd be a nurse, and I'm not. And instead, I get to spend more time with you guys. So I'd say that was worth it. But knowing that whatever hardships come and whatever you endure, it's going to be worth it if you're running it for the finisher, if you're running it for Jesus who went before you.